Greetings once more to the elect, the remnant faithful few who choose their election and make their calling sure in Christ the Lord. Brother Ryan, once again, thanking the Lord for each and every one of you, and asking the question, how does one determine their own standing in the faith of Jesus? By receiving the will of God and keeping His commandments, by showing like-minded in the faith. From such people, God will not turn away, though you be tested and tried like Job of old, who kept his love for Jehovah God, El Shaddai, kept it alive, not even knowing why calamity had befallen him. But through it all, his confession of faith that works by love, it stayed alive, even though he slay me, yet I'll trust him, as Job wrote. So love will be tried to the utmost in this world, though not many of us will be tried to the extent that Job was. But through the course of a lifetime, you will have to keep God's love alive in your heart and endure as we're being made ready for service to the Lord, being prepared, and being formed as vessels meet for use in the English version of the King James Bible, or as instruments of salvation, good for every purpose under heaven. And what that covers in the infinite future that lays ahead, we don't know in full as yet, because eye hasn't seen it, nor ear heard it, nor has it even entered into the heart of all that God has prepared. But we do have a promise, and we know it's there, waiting to be fulfilled. So I'd just like to speak a little more on pillars of the gospel for this week. As we continue on in that subject, we're very grateful for the lives and the sacrifices of so many who stood for the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus, who the Lord used to help make us who we are today. We owe them our gratitude. Some of them are biblical names and we know them. Many of them we do not, but God knows them, as each one contributed to the makeup of who we are now, even as we hope to pass on the gospel good news to the generations that follow us. The prophets and apostles, writers and compilers of the written word, they dwell in light now. They've finished their service on this earth, and the Holy One does not forget them. They have names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the body, it ages and it fails. Churches form and churches finish their witness upon this earth. But the testimony is always alive. It never fades. And the seed planted has a life to it that cannot be killed off. That's our legacy in Christ. So the storied names of Scripture and the lesser known saints, such as are found in the latter Scriptures of Romans 16, they're always part of us, and we're always part of them. For their purpose in life was to deliver the truth that ever abides, and we're a result of that. We're living proof that they succeeded, and that the seeds of God's planting have indeed been sown amongst the good ground of the heart. And God, the great architect of the ages, the great sower of the seed, Lord of the harvest, has been about the business of holiness, and that shows by word effect. As James and Peter and John, as written by Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, are described as pillars themselves, or leaders in more modern English. And they were that. But all authority proceeds from the throne of God. And those saints would be the first to speak it thus. And they knew they could do nothing of themselves. As the Master himself maintained, in St. John 15 and verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. And that's very true. But in Christ, we can do all things, and nothing's impossible in the Lord. Christianity is very much the practice of letting the very notion of impossibilities just to let it go. And that means faith must rise above doubts, even as light has to rise up and dispel darkness. So the subject matter I've chosen and the statements and scriptures we're reading, they're very basic. They're probably the best known to us. And these devotionals here are designed, by my estimation, to be very basic and prayerfully inspirational too. But the core beliefs that we hold to are the pillars of our faith, the foundation for all things. And just because a principle is basic, that doesn't mean it isn't profound. If you take the Proverbs, for example, or the parables of Jesus that deliver beautiful spiritual truths in such simplicity, in their comparison patterns and examples, we learn thereby. And we all need these things, even if we're pretty well established in knowledge and theology. There's still a need for faith to be delivered to us in easy to understand form. And that's for me and you. It's for all of us together. And faith, being our solid rock to rely upon, takes on more life the closer we get to the source of all life, which is God. And the Lord always has a reason in his design to draw you nearer, my God, to thee, to get us closer to his precious bleeding side. There's always a time to every purpose under heaven. In all the circumstances of life that Jesus was born into, as the life of Christ is held within all the events of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, so that our knowledge of him increases by real evidence of his will. Faith needs knowledge to make it stronger, and the faith that every person has a measure of, it's more easily attacked, more easily swayed by arts of deception, unless knowledge is there. But when you know something about the scriptures, and you know something about the God of heaven, and the meaning of all this life that we're born into, you're more able and you're more ready to put on the armaments of God, of which faith is the shield whereby we quench the fiery darts or the arrows of the wicked. That being ever true, this is the first of all the pillars of our faith in St. Mark chapter 12 from verse 28 onward. After being tempted on the question asked by the sect of the Sadducees, Jesus is shown here in his answer, and it shows in verse 28 when one of the scribes comes to him. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So love is at the heart of the first of all commandments, and there's just no substitute for it. Just knowledge of that fact alone, that God exists, doesn't suffice, for as we're told, even demons know there's one God and tremble. But faith, which works by love, brings us nearer to the throne of grace. And if you want faith to work, love God with all that you are. And love his people accordingly, which is the second of all righteous pronouncements. We'll read it directly here in a moment. It's the way, the truth, and the life of Scripture. And we all stand in defense of our own beliefs, but this is the one that absolutely must be written within the heart and soul of those who would find full assurance in Jesus' name and enter into life. The spiritual thought, that's as eternal as God himself, for God is the life of these written sayings, that's an absolute. And I get to speak of them, and I'm honored to witness of them, but I am very aware that I myself am not an absolute. I'm trying to do my best here to be a witness for Christ and an honest one. But I'm a person like any other, but God himself is an absolute, the righteous platform from which we proceed. And faith that works by love is the standard by which all matters will be judged. And those that proclaim love and compassion must hold to its principles in their actions. Notwithstanding, God's mercy is shown to those who confess their faults and are truly repentant. We all have need of that to one degree or another, but God is faithful and just to forgive. And that's always the good news of the gospel. In point of fact, Jesus was willing to suffer the agonies of the cross and to die for lost sinners. And what great compassion, what boundless love that is. It's at the heart of everything that we believe in. And that's how far Jesus was willing to go in the practice of what he preached. He was willing to go the extra mile. In the spirit of Matthew 5:41, which is said by the Master, in that, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, go with him 2 miles, which was at the time really the condition of being drafted into the short-term service as a burden bearer by the Roman army. But to show a spirit of humbleness and gospel disposition and servitude to be Christ-like, Jesus said, if anybody compels you to go a mile, go with him 2. And so much of my purpose in speaking to these things is just to get the book open, share it with others, let it speak for itself, examine the ways of life with others, be in agreement with all that which has ever been, get faith to move, and first commandment issues are the greatest of all things ever written or said in the history of mankind, in the history of creation itself. These things are greater. And there's no greater task given under heaven, no greater purpose than to establish righteous judgment, right the wrongs of the world, walk humbly with God, love his abundance of mercy, and be agreed to walk together with God's forever attributes, and do take a stand against the wickedness that wants to sit in high places. And all those things are a lot to consider, but always remember this, the battle is the Lord's. We have our part in it, but the ultimate responsibility is the Lord's. He bears the burden of rule and the burden of fulfillment. Those things belong to the Lord. And God hasn't asked so much out of any of us, as the prophet Micah recorded Micah 6:8. Just be merciful. Have a desire for equal and fair treatment for everyone, and know that there's a God in heaven who will dispense whatever retribution is called for, because truly vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And far too many have no honest fear of the Lord, that awe-filled reverent respect of the Almighty God. That is the beginning of all righteous wisdom. No real realization of the truth of the judgment nature of the Almighty God. And you who are listening to me, you're the people who do fear God. And I thank the Lord for all of you. You're the salt of the earth, as Jesus said upon the Mount of Beatitudes. That being our crown and glory given to us by the one who alone is worthy to be praised in worship. We read onward in St. Mark chapter 12 from verse 31. Of the second commandment, Jesus says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And then no man after that, as the scripture goes on to say, was able to ask him any questions. So Jesus' answer was good, and the man perceived of the righteousness of the reply, and thus he was not far from the kingdom of heaven. So if you read these scriptures and you agree with them and you love them, you're not far from the kingdom of the Almighty God. As God demands of us love and compassion for those that are created in his image, as living, thoughtful, expressive souls who are able to be loved and can return the gift of love in equal measure to the God above. And these precious thoughts of life are what get us to the place where we're lifted up, where we're not far from the kingdom of God, which is the object that we strive for. And the object we don't strive for is to be almost persuaded, like King Herod Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, who was almost persuaded. We have to be rock solid on these principles of life and be fully convinced of them, and that they come through the name of Jesus. And as we read it out of Scripture, the word neighbor, I believe it's best defined by Jesus himself, who was asked that very question of who is my neighbor in prelude to the parable of the Good Samaritan. The real neighbor of the parable turned out to be the one who showed kindness to the man who had been assaulted and fell among thieves. Therefore, we learn that our first responsibility is to those of the faith, those of a kind heart, of a believing soul. But in all cases of everyone upon the face of the earth, whether they're Christians or not, as you would have done to you, do also unto others, which goes even this far as to even love your enemies, because that was the words of Jesus as well. At the time of Christ, the enemy was the Roman Empire. But love had its reward made known in the instance of a certain centurion soldier of Rome who said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." So we find these things are worthy of witness, and they can do mighty things. And it's worth it all to dwell in love, to gain even one faithful soul. Because every once in a while, you get a Ruth out of Moab, or a Syrophoenician woman who would say, "Truth, Lord, yet even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And of course, now the word has come to all the Gentile nations, and we're part of that witness. We're part of the Great Commission to go out to the nations that the apostles underwent. And one day the word will come back to the seed of Abraham, as found in Romans chapter 11. But until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, it's our position to be the standard bearers of the gospel. Therefore, on these two commandments of love of God and love of one another, mixed with what Jesus spoke of and what we now call the golden rule, do as you'd have done unto you, everything we believe in, all the law and the prophets, they rest upon that. The books of Moses, then from Joshua to Judges and into the days of the kings, the wisdom literature of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all through the prophets, both major and minor, right up and through the Gospels and Epistles, everything written from Genesis to Revelation is placed upon those pillars of our gospel, love of one true God and toward one another. It's who we have to be in Christ. It is who we are in Christ. It's who we must be to gain entry into the kingdom of heaven, into the city where no lie or anything that makes a lie can enter in. So thank the Lord for his mercy and the ability to be part of the kingdom which is to come. God bless you all. Keep the gospel flame burning bright. Shalom.